W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Churchill said, "Those who fail to learn from history are condemned to repeat it." Kevin Hallinan believes that certainly applies to business. Welcome to Winning Business Radio here at W4CY Radio. That's W4CY.com. And now, your host, Kevin Hallinan.
Welcome back to Winning Business Radio. I am your host, Kevin Hallinan. Good to have everybody with us today. The mission of this show, as regular listeners know, is to offer insights and advice to help people avoid the mistakes of others, to learn best practices, you know, the how-tos, the what-tos, the what-not-tos, and to be challenged and certainly to be inspired by the successes of others. It's interesting, though, every successful person I've ever talked to has had some form of failure in either their lives or careers. So while we all have to get our knees skinned once in a while, I'm driven to keep those scrapes from needing major surgery. Let's endeavor to learn from history so we don't repeat it. Today, my guest is Paul LaFlemme, founder, CEO, and president of SendTrend Incorporated. Here's his bio. Paul LaFlemme, founder, CEO, and president of SendTrend Inc. and its subsidiary company, WizKid Support, has more than 20 years' experience managing information systems to create competitive advantage. Paul has dedicated his career to helping customers achieve real business results by balancing the implementation of high-tech solutions with comprehensive security and common sense. With a diverse background in manufacturing, nonprofit, and service-related industries, Paul's broad range of IT expertise and business leadership allows him to envision optimized outcomes for his customers' organizations. His project management and leadership skills help organizations implement the changes necessary to be successful. He currently works with his clients to implement tightly integrated business solutions that enable them to understand and control costs while operating in a lean, technology-driven environment. Whether the situation has required a fully integrated ERP system or a state-of-the-art custom application, Paul has empowered executives to maximize their business profitability and customer satisfaction levels to realize optimum marketplace advantage. Paul is a big believer in education, having studied information systems and business management at Clark University, and he holds an MBA certificate from Tulane. He describes himself as a lifelong learner. Paul lives in Sturbridge, Mass. With his wife of 26 years, Darlene. Together they have, you ready, six kids ranging in age from 25 to 7. Amanda's 25. Anthony's 21, Nicholas is 17, Callie with a K is 14, Isabella is 10, and Liliana is 7. And they have lots of pets. Paul, welcome to Winning Business Radio.
Hey, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it. Good to be here.
You got it. I'm glad you could take some time. So let's start with your family. Six kids. That's awesome. Tell me what the kids are into, what they each do.
Oh, man. So my oldest, Amanda, she's in the PA program right now at Bryant University.
Excellent.
Yep. And my son, Anthony, he is attending Framingham State in his senior year right now for IT. Mm-hmm. And it looks like instead of going the SendTrend route, he's looking at a law school. He wants to do IT law.
Interesting. Yeah. That's cool. I know some guys that do that.
You know, and it's a specialty that is pretty cool that he found himself in that way. I'm proud of him.
Yeah, if you ever want somebody to talk to that does that kind of law, let me know.
Great. I appreciate that.
So now we're down to Nicholas.
Yeah, Nicholas. Nick is in his senior year at high school, and he is looking at engineering schools next year. It's been very challenging to look at schools during the COVID time. You know, normally you'd be touring colleges, and now tours are virtual. But, hey, you know, we've got to do what we've got to do, and he's got to move on, and he'll find a great spot. I know it.
Yeah. Callie with a K.
Callie with a K is a freshman, and her passion is writing. She is an avid writer. At, you know, 13, actually 14 years old, she's already written two novels. She hasn't published them, but she's really serious about it and heading in that direction.
All right. So I know you're her dad, but is it good work?
You know, for her age, absolutely. She's going to hear this, you know.
No. I'm sure she's a good writer. Probably a lifelong learner, too. And Isabella?
Bella? That's right. Yeah, Isabella, you know, she's really strong in the language skills as well and really likes history. And, yeah, she's in her fifth grade, so she's got a ways to go yet. But she's enjoying it.
And I don't know if she likes being called this, but the baby's Liliana. She's 7. Tell me about her.
Liliana, right. So she likes to be called Lily or Liliana. She doesn't mind either way. What she doesn't like to be confused with is Isabella, because after you've put 6 kids through the elementary school, the teachers, right. You know, have a hard time remembering who's who. But yeah, Liliana is our fashionista of the family so far. Cool. She really cares about that, but she's really smart in school and demonstrates, you know, skills above her age for sure.
Fantastic. And tell me about Darlene. Does she work?
Darlene is a substitute teacher.
Okay, cool.
So she does work, and she's, you know, struggling along right now on the front line with the other teachers and just trying to keep the kids safe.
Well, thank you for that frontline work. It's not easy, I'm sure. So tell me now, you said you have a lot of pets. Tell me about the pets.
Yeah, so we have 2 dogs. We have a golden retriever named Daisy.
Yep.
And we have a mixed terrier. That her name is Rosie.
Cool.
Then we have the kids have guinea pigs, hamsters. We have a rabbit, which I'm not sure whose that is.
That's funny.
And we have a turtle.
Turtle and a rabbit. Do they have a race?
Right. I don't know who would win, but
who'd win?
Well, it's been written about that.
That's correct. So you grew up in Massachusetts, right? You grew up northern Mass, north central Mass.
I did, yeah. So more like southern central Mass in the Brookfields.
Sorry.
Yep, that's right. And Sturbridge is where I reside and have resided with Darlene since we got married 26 years ago.
So whenever I hear of the Brookfields, North Brookfield, is it, I don't know, I know there's at least North Brookfield. I think of the Aerosmith, the studio where the Aerosmith band recorded a lot. I don't know if that
really, yeah, North Brookfield, that's right, yep.
So tell me about your upbringing in the Brookfields.
The Brookfields is rural, simply stated. I was really fortunate. I grew up on a lake in Brookfield. And, you know, back then I thought about fishing and thought about, you know, right around the time Atari 2600 was starting to become popular. So I got a console game. I tell my kids that now and they're like, Dad, come on. You know, we play these advanced console games and PCs. We're not into console gaming.
Funny.
You know?
But that's what you and I grew up with for sure.
That's right. Yeah, that was it. Yeah. And, you know, definitely enjoyed bicycle riding. To this day, I still like to mountain bike, and it's just one of those things that you never outgrow.
I noticed one picture of a motorcycle. Is that just a picture, or do you have a motorcycle as well?
Yeah, that picture is my daughter, my youngest, on the bike, just kind of holding her on it. Of course, I didn't ride her on it. But yes, I do. I have a Kawasaki Ninja 1000. That I like to ride. I'm a bit of a thrill seeker, I suppose. You know, I like snowboarding and, you know, things like that.
Well, here's a quick funny story. When we first got married, you know, I always said I want to get a motorcycle when we bought our house. I'd always said, you know, I'm going to get a motorcycle. My wife said, after we own a house. I said, great, I'm looking forward to it. So we bought our house. And then I start talking about a motorcycle and she says, well, wait a second. Problem here. I said, what? We own a house. She said, no, we don't. The bank does. So watch for the fine print, right?
Yeah, we're all just renting, aren't we?
We are just renting. Then I'm not even sure I want one anymore. But growing up, did you have siblings? Tell me about your family and your parents.
And I did, like but because it's part of the background. I've got 4 siblings, so I was the youngest of 5. And I was the youngest of 5 by a lot, by about 9 years.
Wow.
So... And then as the family grew and I was almost raised as an only child as a teenager because you know, they kind of left the nest way before I was even a teenager. So I've got a sister out in Montana. I've got one down in Florida. I've got one local in Spencer and a brother in North Brookfield.
Nice. And so your parents, what did they do?
My dad was a Sears and Roebuck television repairman.
No kidding. Okay.
By day. Yeah. Right? That was his day job. Right. And of course, back then you could actually go on site and you could change a tube and diagnose the problem and get it running. Now it seems like they'd throw the whole board away or the whole unit away nowadays. But back then, he'd walk in with these huge trunk fulls of tubes and parts and things. And he would fix them right on the spot. Yep. He was really into building homes. So,
oh, no kidding.
Yeah, we moved a lot. We stayed in the same area, like I said, but we did move a lot. He would see a house and fall in love with it and its potential, and he just had that vision, you know, and he could, I guess you'd call it flipping houses now, but that's what he did back when that wasn't trendy.
Oh, and your mother didn't mind.
Mother didn't mind. Wow. No, she liked it. You know, everything was a little bit more of an upgrade, and we ended up on one of the most beautiful spots on South Pond in Brookfield.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds awesome. So what were your early interests? You said you've been a little bit of a thrill seeker. I ask because often what people were into early kind of shapes their future, but not always. I was just wondering, were you technical then? Did you have a bent towards technology?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm glad you asked that because I'm proud of this story.
Yeah.
My parents, my dad specifically, you know, saw that I had like mechanical ability. Mm. He liked to show me things, and I liked to be with him in that regard. You know, so if there was something broken around the house, like a radio or something, he would fix it and he would show me how to do it. I learned how to solder and very technical, hands-on kind of stuff back then, right?
That's cool. Yeah.
And then what he did was he sent me to a summer weekend camp. So it was, I believe the curriculum was 4 weekends during the summer. You'd go for a Saturday and you'd spend the entire day in like this technical IT program that was being put on by Central New England College.
Mm-hmm.
They're long gone, so don't try to Google them. But that was the first my first experience formally with computers and any kind of training. And I had already had some exposure to it at school. And he had bought me a VIC 20, a Commodore VIC 20, to play around with and to learn. And I've always been a self-starter. I like to get into things, and I don't like to not know the answer and the best answer. So tinkering and programming and things like that was what I did in my pastime.
Yeah, lifelong learning, as we said earlier, right?
Absolutely. It never stops for me. I just love it. I can't get enough.
Well, when we talked during our prep call earlier, you said you had strong feelings about education, strong opinions. Talk about that, Paul.
I do, and it's changed so much. You know, nowadays, if you have a senior like I do that's graduating school, the vast majority of them go on to some kind of a college, and that wasn't true when you and I were coming up, right, Kevin?
Right.
Maybe half the kids, maybe, you know, they would get to go, but a lot of them never did, and that was okay. Nowadays, I'm trying to make sure all my kids get a strong education. And in my business in technology, the classroom education is not sufficient because it changes so darn much.
Right.
Just so rapidly. Everybody says, oh, technology change. It really, truly does change very, very fast. And it's hard to keep up with. And I think to be successful in it, you have to have the kind of personality that likes to know. I balance that with some business acumen, and why that is and why I think that's important when it comes to education and learning is because balancing it means that you've got a practical application of it. If you simply implement the latest and greatest technology because it's the latest and greatest technology, I don't think that's the best strategy, and that's not the strategy I apply with my customers. I think it makes a lot more sense to have a situation where you know why you're doing it. You've got strong business reasons for it, and you're going to get a real result and outcome with it.
Yeah, that's smart. The analogy I could give you is, you know, I'm in the sales training and development business, and it sounds to me like the analogy of somebody goes out and either thinks about it, hopefully, or pulls the trigger and invests in Salesforce, and they'll never use a fraction of what it's capable of. They didn't need to buy it. They didn't need to spend that kind of money on it. They could have got something much more appropriate for their business, right? Rather than just getting it, because everybody seems to have Salesforce, which is really not true.
Right. No, that's right, Kevin. And then
have sales.
That's right. And then, absolutely. And then the next thing will come along, and that leadership will jump over to that because that's the latest and greatest thing. And that's just not the best strategy.
I have that shiny object syndrome a little bit, but not smart. All right, Paul, we're going to take our first break right here. We'll have a couple messages, and we will be back in just a couple minutes with Paul LaFlemme, founder, president, and CEO of Centrend Incorporated.
You're listening to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan on W4CY Radio. That's W4CY.com. Don't go away. More helpful information is coming right up, right here on Winning Business Radio.
Is your pet overweight? Suffer from itchy skin and coat problems? Showing signs of food allergies? Then do your pet a favor. Stop by Fiesta Pet Deli, South Florida's original and only fresh food deli for pets. Prepared daily and FDA approved with products like Bravo, Nature's Variety, and BioComplete. Listen, dogs and cats are carnivores. 90% of their diet should be meat. That dry kibble you put in their bowl every day contains less than half of what their bodies require. Veterinarian owned and operated, Fiesta Pet Deli has one mission: to get your pet as healthy as possible. Give them a call today at 954-971-2500 or come check out their new store at the Festival Flea Marketplace at Sample Road in the Turnpike in Pompano, Florida. They also offer free local delivery, shipping throughout the United States. Check out their website at www.realfoodforpets.com or just Google Fiesta Pet Deli. If you truly love your pet and care about their health, stop by Fiesta Pet Deli. Call today at 954-971-2500.
You can tell what's wrong with a car just by sitting next to it at a red light. You can tear down a big block engine in 26 minutes. You know cars. We can help you find more of them to work on. And together, we can get your small business moving in the right direction. At AT&T Advertising Solutions, we have more ways to reach more people. With print, online, mobile, and direct marketing, AT&T Advertising Solutions has local advertising experts to help your small business find more customers. Call 1-800-GET-REAL to learn more. AT&T, rethink possible.
Have you ever dreamt of being on the radio? Well, now is your chance. Be a radio show guest on the number one ranked internet radio station and promote you and your business for free. Yes, you heard it, free. Business advertising right here on W4CY.com. Call 561-506-4031 now to get booked on one of our shows. That's 561-506-4031. Get your free advertising now.
Hey, this is Kenny Wayne Shepherd, and you're listening to W4CY Radio.
And now back to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan, presenting exciting topics and expert guests with one goal in mind: to help you succeed in business. Here once again is Kevin Hallinan.
We're back again with Paul LaFlemme, founder, CEO, and president of Centrend. Paul, we were talking about education, lifelong learning, and I wanted to see how that kind of helped you in your career. So take us through your career progression prior to 05 when you started your company. Talk about the various jobs you had sort of chronologically, and I'll ask you a few questions along the way.
Sure. Thank you. For my first job, I was an operator of production equipment at Quabog Corporation in North Brookfield. Mm-hmm. They make the famous Vibram soles. That's made right there in North Brookfield, right? And I had some great mentors there that I'm really grateful to today for. What I did was I promoted myself. they didn't have any systems. They didn't have any IT. Within just a couple of months, I got myself into an IT job there. And they really only had a mainframe, or actually a mid-range IBM AS400 mid-range system. But they knew they needed to move beyond that. They didn't need just dumb terminals. They really needed to leverage the competitive advantage that PCs would bring to the organization. Mm-hmm. So I built them their first network. It was called Lantastic, which, you know, is long gone.
I remember that name. I don't remember much
about
it. Do
you?
I remember the brand name, yeah.
Yep, and Novell NetWare was the other big player at the time. Lantastic was coming up. Novell NetWare kind of had a niche market, engineering firms mostly. And it was there that I really, you know, cut my teeth, so to speak, in terms of understanding manufacturing. And I met some mentors there that not only helped me on the IT side of things and gave me opportunities there, but taught me a lot about cost accounting. And I love the idea of manufacturing and figuring out what your true costs are versus tangible and intangible overhead and burden rates. And, you know, I got a lot of experience doing that way beyond just IT.
That's good core business experience. That's excellent.
Right. So I spent about 9 years with that company.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved on to an opportunity that was pure IT. And that was for a real estate / law firm in Spencer.
Okay.
Yep. I worked for them for several years until they closed and retired. And then there, though, I think it's important to recognize an important thing that was happening in the world. What was happening in the world then was the invention of the World Wide Web as we know it today.
Al Gore came. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right. Exactly right. But that's when all that was starting to happen. Yeah. And I remember just sitting back one day at my desk after I clicked on a couple of different servers. And back then, they were mostly text screens. They weren't graphic as they are now, right? But I remember sitting back and clicking a link, and it took me to this document in this archive in the University of California's library.
Cool.
And then, right? And then from their index, I clicked on something, and all of a sudden I was in, I think it was Michigan. I was researching something up there.
Yeah.
And I just kind of sat back, and I was overwhelmed a little bit. You know what I mean? It's like, my God, what's going to happen? This is going to explode. This is going to be crazy, right? The fact that you have this kind of information available to everyone with a computer was mind-blowing to me. And you might sit back and laugh at that now, but to have experienced that at the time was very pointed for me.
Yeah, if you think of where things were technologically then, that was incredible.
Right, it was kind of this realization of what was here and what was to come.
Yeah, it's funny, you just reminded me that I got my sense of that. I grew up in a ham radio family, so my father was a single sideband for a while, and then he got his ham license. My brother got an expert class license at age like 13, the youngest in, he wasn't the youngest ever, I'm sure, but everybody he ever met said, wow, you're so young to have an extra class license. He's always been in technology. And we were talking to people across the world. It was just a crazy, crazy experience. It was really eye-opening.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad did that side. I don't think he ever got licensed, but he definitely did the side thing for a while. And we used to talk to people from different places in the world. It's amazing how much smaller the world has truly become.
It's amazing. It is true. It is true.
Yeah.
So what was the job prior to SendTrend, and why did you decide to leave?
That's a great question. My job prior to SendTrend was Kennedy Die Castings. It's a manufacturer of different die casting types in Worcester. They were up by the airport.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was there that I really was spending a lot of time in management meetings and doing things that were not strictly IT.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that I wanted to be more exclusive to IT and manufacturing support, that kinds of roles. So that's when I decided I would start my own company. And the organization was wonderful. They were very, very supportive of me. They agreed to keep me on as a consultant. So they effectively became my first customer and provided a launch pad for me to be able to start my own consulting business.
Yeah, one of the questions I was going to ask is, was it risky? I mean, how did you get your first clients and that sort of thing? And was your wife on board? Because she's a member of the board of directors of La Flemme.
By default, yes.
Yeah. So talk about that experience.
That's right. Yeah, it was always risky. You know, anytime you start a new endeavor, there's a certain degree of risk. But I felt comfortable and confident And I felt that having that behind me, the power of the company that I was well ingrained to, that I trusted the management team there, that I would be able to successfully launch this business.
And that's fantastic that they were very supportive.
Very supportive.
What was So talk about the few steps, or maybe more, that you had to do to go from employee at Kennedy to shingle on the wall, CEO of SendTrend.
Talk about it in terms of the thought process or the business setup process?
The business setup, yeah.
Sure. The first thing I had to do was start consulting some folks in terms of how to organize the company. LLC. Incorporated as an S-Corp, which is ultimately what I decided to do. Mm-hmm. And the decision on that was based not so much on where I was, but where I wanted to go and where I wanted to get to as an organization.
Yeah.
I moved to Sturbridge way back when, right? Because I still worked at Kennedy Die Castings at the time, mm-hmm. because I knew I wanted to do this someday. I really did.
Cool.
And the reason Sturbridge was key and strategic is it's just so central. You can get so many places in New England very, very easily from that location.
Yeah, for people that are out of state that don't know, talk about the highways that are right there.
Sure. So there's Interstate 84 and the Mass Pike. It's the junction of those two interstates, Interstate 90, which is a toll road, and Interstate 84. From there, you can get to destinations like Worcester, Boston. Boston is probably an hour for me from here. Mm-hmm. Now, notwithstanding traffic, of course,
right,
in different
right,
areas in the
right.
city, but I could literally be like at the Pru, for example, in just over an hour from here. I can get to Hartford, Connecticut. I can get to Springfield, Massachusetts. And then we can look at destinations out of state that's
Albany.
Still within easy reach.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. What was the most difficult aspect of getting up and running, would you say?
I would say the difficult part was just putting it all together in terms of what my cost was going to be to get started. And there's a big incremental cost when you hire your first employee, because then you have all the compliance things. I mean, you don't have compliance like a larger organization, but there's still certain things you have to do to do it right. And I wanted to do it right above all else.
Well, one thing I heard you say, and I want people to hear this, is you consulted with people. You got advisors around you.
Right. To try to do it on your own is like reinventing the wheel. And if you get it wrong, then that could be your failure point. It doesn't mean that you can't still fail, but you certainly have a much better shot if you draw on the experience and expertise of others.
Yeah.
And in my own consulting company, what we do is we help businesses with their IT services, and we become their outsourced IT department in a lot of cases. So I have to practice what I preach from the beginning, and that is, if you hire a professional, let them do their job.
By all means. You're preaching to the choir with me too, right?
Yep.
What's one thing relative to setting the company up, what's one thing that you would do differently had you had the opportunity?
I would have to say that I probably would have trained a sales force faster.
Interesting.
You know,
I did not set that question up just so people are aware. Go ahead.
Yeah. As I found my business grow and become successful, guess what? I'm busy 40 plus hours a week.
Yeah.
And then I'm busy trying to do admin work.
Yeah.
How in the heck am I going to find and train a salesperson?
Yeah.
Right. So that's something that I would have liked to have known and figured out and met you a lot sooner.
Or somebody like me, right?
That's right.
So couple of questions before our next break, where did your early clients come from? So Kennedy, the previous company, was your first client, right? Where did your early clients come from? What efforts?
Yeah, that's right. They came from word of mouth. I joined BNI organization started networking, going to networking events, and it was really all referral based, all word of mouth.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, I actually noticed in your LinkedIn profile that we know some people in common. I'll talk to you about that off air. But
good.
All right, let's take our second break right here. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes after these commercials. We'll be back with Paul LaFlemme shortly.
You're listening to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan on W4CY Radio. That's W4CY.com. Don't go away. More helpful information is coming right up, right here on Winning Business Radio.
Hey, this is Johnny Three Tears from Hollywood Undead, and you're listening to W4CY Radio.
I do whatever it takes to make it break through. Anything I'm face to face with, it's true.
Have you ever dreamed of having your own radio show? Well, W4CY Radio makes dreams come true. You can be a radio personality on the number one ranked internet radio station in West Palm Beach, Florida. We can be heard in 105 countries and all U.S. states. Promote your business, earn up to $10,000 per month and more. It's all up to you. Have fun and be heard. Call 561-506-4031. That's 561-506-4031. Start your radio show now.
This is Colt Ford, and you're listening to W4CY Radio.
Be seen, be heard on the internet's number one ranked radio station right here in West Palm Beach. What a way for your business to have a voice. Now is the time to advertise your business on W4CY.com. Call 561-506-4031 for a deal you won't refuse. Again, that's 561-506-4031. Don't wait. Call now.
Now back to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan, presenting exciting topics and expert guests with one goal in mind, to help you succeed in business. Here once again is Kevin Hallinan.
We're back with Paul LaFlemme, founder, CEO, and president of SendTrend Incorporated. We were talking about the early days of the company back 05, 06-ish, and I wanted to say, what would you say is your biggest challenge thus far?
My biggest challenge really came when I recognized the fact that I was getting busier and busier, which is great. You know, the referral network was. Right? What's that?
That's a good problem, getting busier and busier.
Well, it is. It is. As long as you can keep up with the demand, because the last thing in the world I would ever want is to disappoint my existing customer base. Yeah. The customer has to come first before growth. And as you realize that you're getting busier and busier working on the business, and when are you going to work in the business? How do you work on the business?
Sounds like you've read The E-Myth by Michael Gerber.
I actually have read that.
Yeah, and it's that's a good read, listeners.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No truer words ever spoken there, because, you know, how are you going to do that? So I look for different ways. And my advice to business people in that situation is to offload the stuff that you can truly offload. Mm-hmm. So I hired an administrative assistant, mm-hmm. and she actually worked remotely. This was 8 years ago now.
Yeah.
And it was great because I trained her, and I had to invest in that training. But once I did, you know, she was able to handle all the data entry for my accounts receivable, my accounts payable. She got to the point where she could help me with quotes and typing things up for customers. And
let me ask you this, because I've seen this a lot. Sorry to interrupt. The fear is I can't afford that person. But my guess is you made more than what you were paying her because it freed you up for opportunity. It freed you up to spend time growing the business. Would I be wrong?
You're absolutely right. That's a good call. And to make that leap, I understand the hesitation that some will have, but it's absolutely essential, because you cannot be busy 40 plus hours just consulting and then busy working your own books and then trying to hire salespeople and trying to prospect as well. You can't do that. You've got to offload the things where you can.
Again, it sounds silly to say. I'll say it again. That's wisdom right there. What about this? What are you most proud of at this point in the 15-year run of SendTrend?
You know, I think I'm proud that it lasted 15 plus years. So many companies did not. And there are many, many people that have tried to do what I do, and some are still attempting it, that know how to do some things, but they go and they sell themselves in areas where they really have no real expertise. Mm-hmm. And I would caution any business startup or owner against that. You know, focus on your core competencies is very real.
Yeah, that's excellent. So tell us more about the company. Who are your clients? Does geography matter? What's the sweet spot client? Tell us about those types of things.
Sure. I've got to talk about the division separately. So to start with Centrend.
Yeah, I'll ask you about WizKids shortly.
Okay. So for Centrend, my customers are between 5 and 50 computers generally. I find that more than 50 computers or information workers, if you will, means that they probably could benefit from some internal staff.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Anyone smaller than that, so 5 to 50 in other words, really doesn't need to have, unless they have really special, unique requirements, they probably should not try to hire and retain and train. And it's just so costly to do those things. An IT person, that's probably going to be bored, because if things are done right and running well, you just don't need to spend that kind of time on IT if it's done right.
And there won't be big projects. There won't be software implementations. You're right. They'd be bored.
Right. There's projects once in a while, and they're busy for that time. But, you know, that's a couple months out of the year. Meanwhile, you're paying them, plus you're paying the benefits and such to just sit around and probably be unhappy, because a truly passionate IT person isn't going to be happy, you know, sitting in their office browsing Facebook or something in their spare time waiting for a call to come in.
That's good. How about industries? Does industry matter? Do you have some verticals you specialize in?
Yeah, really, of course. As you can probably guess, I love to work with manufacturers. We are very strong in our manufacturing base. We can return a lot of value to manufacturers because of, you know, my business acumen with cost accounting and just right. I understand and can talk their lingo, you know. We also work a lot with professional service industries, so law firms, real estate offices, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, law firms in particular, uptime is critical, because if they're down, they're not billing.
That's right. And when someone like yourself asks me, well, what companies do you like to work with? Honestly, I like to focus on ones that value their IT, because honestly, some of them don't. They just don't get it, you know, at least at the top level. They don't always understand how critical their IT is until they experience some kind of loss or major problem or outage.
Yeah. Yep. So does geography matter?
It does to a degree. I've got customer, that said, I've got a customer as far north as Burlington, Vermont. When it's done right and it's done well and we pay attention to it, it doesn't require a lot of on-site anymore, because everyone has high-speed connections and our remote support tools are top-notch, and we can get through most situations without necessarily putting boots on the ground.
Yeah. How big is your staff?
We have five people.
What roles are they in?
I have one administrative person, which is part-time, and then the others are technical consultants. And for Centrend, my strategy has been to employ, what's the right word to say? We don't employ entry-level in Centrend because I really don't like the model where some consulting companies have, where you have to go through level one and get to level two. You're not playing a video game here. You're trying to get your problem solved. You know, you shouldn't have to convince level one that you have a bigger problem. And I think that we try to answer our phones all the time. We're at 93% at the moment. We're striving for 100. We're at 93%. And that's going to be answered by a person that is qualified to help you when you call. Mm. It's not going to be a note taker or a messenger. It's going to be someone that's a qualified technical consultant.
That's excellent. Hey, how has your business been affected this year with COVID in particular?
It was a roller coaster for us. So at first, when things locked down, I got calls from manufacturing, in particular manufacturing, old-time CEOs or old-school CEOs that were dead set against ever having anyone remote. Well, now they're calling up saying, Paul, you got to help us. I got to have my people be able to work remotely or I'm shut down.
Yeah.
So it was a huge scramble and a huge push to get those things set up securely. Fortunately for my customers, they had us to do that. I'm very concerned about privacy and security, especially for the businesses that didn't necessarily seek professional advice to do this. If you tried to set it up yourself, you probably created some vulnerabilities. And when we go back to reducing the amount of remote work, I'm concerned that there's going to be data that's vulnerable, that's kind of forgotten about, copied somewhere and on a memory stick on a local user workstation that is at risk.
Mm-hmm. Are people in some companies using their personal PCs or laptops?
In many cases they are, especially when they hadn't previously worked from home. Right. So my advice there is to let your corporate IT or company like mine, if it's outsourced, help you get the users set up securely so that if they're going to get on your network, they're going to get on it securely. If they're going to access email through a web portal, they access it in a secure way, and they're locally protected against cryptoware and all those nasties you hear about.
Yeah, ransomware and stuff like that.
That's right.
That's really good advice. Really good advice. And this remote workforce, work from home, is not going to change. It's not going to go away soon. It may not go away 100% ever, right? But it's certainly not going to be. It's, you know, we're going to be well into 2021. Who knows, right? But it's not going away soon.
If you can work remotely or have your staff work remotely in a way that reduces risk for things like this, but maintains integrity of your information systems, it's a great personal perk. If you have to choose between going to work or being able to work remotely, most people would rather work and be able to work remotely than have to go on unemployment because they can't get there, they can't get the childcare, that kind of thing.
Right.
So it's a good thing.
So tell us. Yeah, by all means, thank you. Tell us about WizKid, a division. What was the brainchild? I mean, it's your brainchild, I think. What was the thinking behind it? What's the business model, et cetera?
Right. I've always felt badly previous to starting WizKid Support when an individual that doesn't have corporate IT, and sometimes that's a solopreneur just starting off, sometimes it's a independent financial advisor that has like access to a software tool, but no support with IT, like the computers themselves or email and things like that. I've always felt bad turning those people away, but I mean, let's face it, I'm just not set up under Centren to be able to help and deal with those kinds of requests in a cost-effective way that they can afford and that would make sense for them. So I didn't do it, and I didn't really have anywhere to turn them to. Well, anticipating all the work from home coming up because of COVID, that's when I said, you know what, I'm finally going to have the ability to do this in a way that makes sense for Centren and in a way that's going to dramatically help a lot of people.
Different personnel.
Different personnel, yep.
So give us the 30-second commercial. Tell the listeners what exactly WizKid is and how you deliver the service.
Sure. WizKid Support delivers about 98% of our services remotely. And the market that we're serving, again, is the solopreneurs and the individuals that have no corporate IT support or relationship with a company like that has a company like Centren for them. We're offering
People at home, if they're, whether they work at home or just have a lot of computing at home or homeschooling, right?
Yeah, homeschooling, yep, work from homes. And one of the key differentiators in our service is the fixed fee schedule. So if you go to our website, WizKidSupport.com, you'll actually be able to see the pricing. And we're offering that nationally.
So WizKid Support, WHIZKID Support.com, right?
You bet.
Cool. I did read this. I did my homework, and I read this. WizKid Support has one mission: to provide the highest possible quality remote computer support to individuals located anywhere in the U.S. So do you have clients outside of Massachusetts?
I do, yes. Yep. Yeah, most of those have been through referral. Others have been through some advertising that some of our mutual contacts have been helping with.
And so who performs the support? Are they remote as well?
They are. Yep. My company has always been very distributed, especially now.
So I've seen over the years companies that have said the same thing as you. Hey, we just can't do it. You know, we'd love to be able to support, I'll call it the homeowner, if you will, right. You know, the home user, but we're not set up for it. And I've seen others try and fail because the numbers just don't work. How have you succeeded? How have you been able to make it work?
I think that there's two factors there. First, the volume is significantly higher. And it's significantly higher because of what's going on with all the people that are working from home that really don't have anybody, right?
Yep.
The second reason for that really is because of the fixed fee structure. People have a lot of trepidation about dealing with a smaller shop, you know, without knowing exactly what they're going to get and how they're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think those are two of the biggest factors involved here. Yeah. And a third reason, if I may, is Centren's competitive advantage. Because I'm already licensing and paying for technology that's extremely advanced that a startup like WizKid wouldn't otherwise be able to afford, I can leverage that same technology.
That's a great point. Great point. Let me ask this. We'll flip the business card to the back for a minute. What do you like to do when you're not working?
Well, I mentioned to you, I thought that I'm really into snowboarding and some of those types of things in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. And in the summertime, I still enjoy fishing and kayaking and hiking.
Nice. Kids into that too?
Yeah, they are. Yep. My most recent thing, and it's almost embarrassing to tell you, but that's okay, skateboarding. Something I always wanted to do when I was a kid, and my son Nick is really into it. He's really good at it, and he's been encouraging me to skateboard. So I've been doing some skateboarding. I actually started off with some longboarding, and now I'm on a shortboard doing some basic things.
So I'm just Googling on air, how old is Tony Hawk? He's 52.
Hey, you know,
if somebody doesn't know who Tony Hawk is, Google him right now. He's you'll get a kick out of him.
He didn't exactly start at 52.
No, he certainly did not. Certainly did not. But he's still going strong, and he's made quite the brand, developed quite the brand. What is the best way for people to reach out and get in touch with you, both if they've got questions, whether they're a home user for WizKid? We talked about that website. How do they reach out and connect with you for, you know, a company if they want to talk to you about Centren?
Sure. At my website, centren.com, which is CENTREND.com. And if you go there, you find our phone numbers. You can find a request for consultation, free consultations to anyone that that needs some quick advice and perhaps some assistance.
Excellent. Hey, there's one thing I wanted to ask you about. We're almost out of time, but I wanted to go here for just a minute. You mentioned off air, and I forgot to bring it up, that you have a particular, I guess you'd say, heart for nonprofits, that you do offer some discounts for nonprofit organizations. Can you talk about that a bit?
We do, yes. We like to work with nonprofits. I think it's a great way that Centren can give back, but still give back within the framework of our core competency. And so we offer some substantial discounts to nonprofit organizations that need help.
Excellent. So if you're a nonprofit or you know of a nonprofit, reach out to Paul. He can probably help at least providing advice and maybe on a contractual level. Paul, thank you for being here. Time goes fast. We are out of time, but I really appreciate your time in carving out a little bit of your day and being with us today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being on the air.
You got it. And thanks, everybody, for listening. As you know, this is a show about business challenges and successes. If you've got concerns about the growth of your company, feel free to reach out to me on Facebook or LinkedIn at Winning Business Radio, or you can drop me a note. It's kevin@winningbusinessradio.com. Our company, Winning Incorporated, we develop sales teams into high achievers and sales leaders into true coaches and mentors. Listen, we're not right for everybody, but maybe we should have a conversation. Thank you, as always, to my favorite engineer. That's Rebel Medler. Tune in again next Monday, January 4th, 2021, at 4 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be Paul Smith, president of DataSmith. Until then, this is Kevin Hallinan.
You've been listening to Winning Business Radio with your host, Kevin Hallinan. If you missed any part of this episode, the podcast is available on Talk 4 Podcasting and iHeartRadio. For more information and questions, go to winningbusinessradio.com or check us out on social media. Tune in again next week and every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time to listen live to Winning Business Radio on W4CY Radio, W4CY.com. Until then, let's succeed where others have failed and win in business with Kevin Hallinan and Winning Business Radio.